A History of the World in 21 Women, written and read by Jenny Murray.
Introduction. Okay, Thomas Carlyle, famous and greatly respected 19th century Scottish philosopher, I'm going to quote you again with the purpose this time of completely demolishing what are probably the best known few words you ever said. The history of the world is but the biography of great men. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And this time I have the whole wide world with which to prove how utterly mistaken you are and were, even in your own time. I wonder that a man of such erudition was so blind to the presence of all those great women from the past and from his present, who spent their lives in defiance of the conventions that for centuries and across all cultures attempted to confine them to hearth, home, and domestic servitude. Perhaps it's simply been convenient for you and for many men like you to ignore the fact that women the world over are, like men, people, and not some sort of enslaved lower life form with no purpose other than to breed your children, cook your food, and make and mend your clothes. How strange, Mr. Carlyle, that at the very time you took up your pen, you should have remained oblivious to women across the globe questioning and challenging the status quo. In your own time, a woman stood up and asked why it was that, even though she worked, as so many had to or chose to, and was expected to contribute to general taxation, she didn't have the right to vote and decide what kind of government ruled her. Had you, Mr. Carlyle, not heard that other familiar saying, "No taxation without representation," or, as Susan B. Anthony, one of the American leaders of the suffrage movement, put it during its campaign for the vote, "Men, their rights and nothing more. Women, their rights and nothing less." Women of the 19th and early 20th centuries did, after a long and hard battle, finally force the agreement that as citizens, we must be acknowledged to have won the right to vote and take a full part in democracy. In the UK, universal suffrage for all women and men over the age of 21 was granted in 1928. Britain was a good way down the list of countries that finally gave in to the fact that so many men, and indeed some women, had found so difficult to believe women and men are equal citizens. New Zealand was the first in 1893, quickly followed by Australia in 1902, although Aboriginal women were excluded and did not win the right to vote until 1962. Finland, Norway, Denmark, Canada, Austria, Germany, Poland, Russia, the Netherlands, the United States and Sweden all came before Great Britain. Other countries you might have expected to be quick off the mark lagged behind well into the 20th century. Women in Switzerland won the right only in 1971. Saudi Arabia came to its senses regarding the vote in 2011, and in 2018 the country's young crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, heir to the throne, began his moves to drag the kingdom into the 21st century. Women who, until now, have been denied the right to drive a car will be permitted to be behind the wheel later this year. There remains, though, a significant restriction on the free movement of what the kingdom continues to regard as the lesser sex. In conversation with a Saudi professor of women's studies, Khatoum Al-Fassi, at a literary festival in Dubai this spring, I learned that the guardianship rule, which dictates that a woman must be accompanied by a man when she appears in public, still applies. It is, she told me, essential that the law be changed and written down clearly so there can be no argument or debate about a woman's right to personal freedom. This would, she said, be the most important step towards changing the culture. The prince's plan to open theatres and cinemas banned for the past 35 years will also be significant in introducing more liberal ideas to the society. Art, she believes, will change women's lives.